Okay, here we are. Hello and welcome to the live interview series. And today we're going to be interviewing Amy, one of my Bod Squad clients. Now, before I begin tonight's call, I'm going to try something a little different. And if you're sitting in front of your computer for whatever reason, and you are a member of Happily Fit or After, I'm going to be in the chat room that is available there for the duration of the call. Now, the chat room can be found by going to the forum main page, and in the upper right corner, you'll see a little thing that says chat room. But you have to be logged in to be able to get into that chat. I have created a room so that we could be private in this little live interview. And you have to get into the room, but you need a password to get into that room. And I'm going to share that password with you now. And the password, of course, is my special word, which is rock on. But it's spelled R-A-W-K-O-N, and it's all in cap letters. R-A-W-K-O-N for the live interview chat room at Happily Fit or After, the chat room there. And I will make periodic announcements as we're going through this conference call. You know, feel free to use the chat room amongst your friends, whoever might show up. I won't be watching it as I conduct the interview. I'll only be monitoring it during the Q&A section at the end. And I've kind of established this for any of you that might not like to chat on the phone but might have a question to ask and feel a little bit more comfortable there. You can ask your question and I can repeat it to Amy and or myself and we can go ahead and get the answer for you. So I'm hoping this will help. So as far as an introduction, everybody knows who I am. I'm Biz from Happily Fit or After in the HCG shop and I'm going to be your host for this evening. Now, I like to say the date because, which is November the 18th, 2013. I like to announce that because anyone that might be listening to this particular call in the future, I want them to know that this is kind of a timed live interview. And whatever I say or whatever Amy says or whatever the interviewee says is relevant at this particular point in time. And like anything else that we go through in life, growth happens over time. So anyone in the future that might be listening to this recording, let's say a year or so from now, might be kind of handling things differently then. So kind of keep that in mind. I constantly grow, and with my growth, I help my clients with the knowledge that I've gleaned. So just keep that in mind. I am loving these interviews with the various clients that I've done over this last year or so. You know, every single one of my clients, I consider it an honor to serve each one. But just like with friends, I kind of glean something special from each one. And that's why I like to approach these interviews with that one special thing, that one elegant idea that I feel that can help the other, you know, anybody that's listening with their weight control journey. Now, let me give you just a little bit of background before I start the quote-unquote content portion of this call. I handle clients one-on-one for now anyway, and I expect them, when they sign up, to sign up for the full 13-week program. 13 weeks is about 3 months. Now, it's been my experience in coaching that it takes at least 3 months to establish a pretty good working relationship so that I know my client and they know me well enough to help them through almost anything. Now, fortunately, most of my clients generally stay a little longer, and so the subsequent cycles are a little bit easier than the first, which is why, as my clients do know, that I give a little bit of a discount after the first cycle. It gets easier for both my client and myself. Now, that first cycle, I usually see a lot of physical progress during that first cycle. What I mean by physical is I can help almost anyone lose weight. So I see that weight loss and, you know, and like we kind of get ourselves into that coaching model and I can see the physical progress. But as most of my clients will tell you, I'm much more than just helping you drop the weight. I'm here to kind of help you flip that switch so that the weight stays off once and for all. But to be honest, I seldom see progress in that area in just one cycle. Well, Amy kind of broke that streak. Huh, Amy?
Yeah, definitely.
But she didn't come to me with that ability to do that. In fact, when she came to me, she had some slight unrealistic expectations. We're going to talk about that in just a little bit. But before I begin this, I want to talk about unrealistic expectations, because that's kind of the that's kind of the elegant idea. Not that I want you to have unrealistic expectations, but how to conquer them. Because Amy definitely did that in a cycle. She's only been on one cycle, one 13-week cycle, and she's in 3 weeks of the second cycle now. So it's been amazing, her progress in just that short amount of time. Now, the more I move away from that, my own initial start date of using the HCG protocol, which is way back in June 2007, what I see more and more are people who have at least lost weight once with HCG, but have now gained it, either some of it or, you know, unfortunately, all of it back. Now, the road to weight gain is kind of an evolutionary process. Some people call it like creeping up. The scale goes up, the pants get a little tighter, the skirt won't zip, and yet people expect the scale to go down as fast as like a race car going around a track. Now, when you practice this thought pattern, you're kind of perfecting a bad habit, which is ultimately that unrealistic expectation. And believe it or not, a lot of this has to do with perfectionism. Excuse me while I take a sip. Now, a lot of people on this call already know I'm a recovering perfectionist. That's what I call myself. So I kind of know what I'm talking about when I talk about perfectionism. The most often used, laments that a perfectionist use are a lot of, I could have, I should have, I didn't, I wanted to. And I know sometimes I even catch myself these days saying those things, and how much have you maybe caught yourself saying these things? But perfectionism is just an illusion. And since in your mind you won't ever be perfect, then also in your mind, he will never succeed. So those comments can turn into, I failed, I blew it, I'm weak, I'm bad, or whatever else you happen to say to beat yourself up. And then what happens is you quit, or you even just quit trying. So one of the things I tend to work with almost all the times with my clients is having them acknowledge small incremental improvements. Okay, I don't know what that said. I guess you guys didn't hear that. I guess I did. Anyways, we're going to pass that. Times when they did better at one meal or one day or even one event than they might have done in the past. Excuse me, I had to check the log for a second. Okay, I'm back. So what I try to do is I try to encourage them to focus on what they actually did that was right and not what they thought maybe that they should have done. So the inclination that some people have to focus on the negative is part of what they call all or nothing thinking, or the all or nothing mind. The thought process can usually run, if you can't do it perfectly for an entire week, then why do it at all? Or then just forget about it. I'm just going to quit. And if you ask me, being perfect for a week, I don't think I've ever seen that in all my years of coaching. Nobody's always perfect. It's actually much more pleasurable to look for the positive and to watch that list grow and grow. So all or nothing thinking is way more dangerous to your weight loss goals than maybe one of your friends baking brownies and leaving them on your desk. Even if you eat just one brownie, which I don't recommend, but even if you did, but you managed to give the rest to coworkers and friends, you think you've blown it. But really, a better way of thinking would be to realize, hey, I just ate one, when in the past you probably would have eaten several, if not all. So unrealistic expectations, what you need to realize is that they give a lot of power to goals that are not realized. It can squash it flat on its face, and then it can cover it with concrete. Then those unreal expectations are drowning out anything that wants to grow, because now you've given up all hope. There's a quote by Thomas Edison that I really liked, because he never stopped trying. He said, "I have not failed 10,000 times. I have successfully found 10,000 ways that will not work." So what we have to realize is the only thing that we have to work with is the now, today. Can you make today better than yesterday? Now, I had a client once, and she was a little bit of an unrealistic thinker. We weren't using HCG, and she had lost 7 pounds in 2 weeks. Now, the third week, she lost just 1 pound. When, you know, I was helping her to find the positive in what she accomplished in the last week, she said, absolutely nothing. Nothing good happened, and she was miserable. So I said to her, but you lost 8 pounds. And she said, but I was so good all week, and the scale didn't move. And I said, you lost a pound this week, and you didn't gain back the previous 7. She says, she repeated, and I lost that pound at the beginning of the week and didn't lose anything at the rest of the week. So no matter what I said, she wasn't able to acknowledge anything that was positive. Her unrealistic expectations were so great that it was hard for her, or almost impossible for her, to feel like joy or satisfaction in what she had already accomplished. Now, when you don't acknowledge these small accomplishments, when you don't water them or nurture them or give them sunlight, then they're going to wither on the vine. You're so used to seeking the imperfect that you're allowing all these weeds to grow in, which are unrealistic and negative thoughts. And these are going to make you believe that you're never going to succeed and that you're destined to fail. If you continue to give that much credence to your failures, whether they're real or imagined, and not enough to your attempts at your successes and accomplishments that might come in just small little doses, then you stand the chance of becoming the failure that you may be, the failure that you think you may be, that you think you are. Now, instead, I'm going to challenge you to create a positive voice. Think of the reasons why you want to reach a goal, not the reasons why you don't want to weigh what you are now. I challenge you to write those thoughts down, or better yet, get some friends and tell them how you feel, rather than trying to relive the negative. Give importance to the good stuff and let everything else go. It's hard sometimes, but you need to monitor that negative, unrealistic thinking and see how many times that you give yourself credit for doing something positive. Like, let's say, I only ate when I was hungry the entire week. But then you kind of negate that by adding, well, except for Thursday night when I worked late and I had like three slices of pizza. That's not a good habit to get into. Don't want to negate the good by reminding yourself of the bad. It's not a good habit to get into just give one evening of a pizza splurge the same weight as the other 6 days of staying on your program. So thinking realistically and positively can be a little tricky at the beginning because you've had, you know, years and years and years of thinking unrealistically and negatively. But like anything else, if you practice and you persevere, you will change your attitude and you will succeed. Probably not immediately, probably just one baby step at a time, maybe even 10,000 attempts later, but it will happen. And so you acknowledge and celebrate small stuff, and the positive effect on your life will be huge. So that is my little content call portion of unrealistic expectations and what you can do about them. So with that, Amy, I'd like to introduce Amy, a member of the Bob Squad. I would like for you to go ahead and give us a little bit of information about you. And I know it helps people when they know age. So if you're willing, that would help our audience along with, you know, giving us any other stats that you can do. Amy, if you're, take it away, Amy.
All right. So I'm not shy about anything. So I'm Amy. I'm 30. And what else would you like to know?
How tall are you?
I'm 5'7".
Okay. So you came to me back at the end of July. I think it was July 29th, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. And just for the sake of argument for the, you know, for our audience, you start. Don't know what that keeps telling me. Give me just a second.
Okay.
The conference software keeps telling me something. Okay, I see everything keeps working. Okay, sorry about that little interruption. Anyway, tell us about how much you weighed, if you remembered, when you came to me back in the end of July.
Let me check my spreadsheet.
Okay, I have
192.
Right,
looks
okay.
Like about.
Okay, so you started, you didn't come to me and start around right away. I think you started around day 10.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you did a short, what I call a short round, which is about 3 weeks, and you took off around how many pounds?
About 10 pounds.
Okay. And then you had a small break, 7 or 8 days, and then you went on another round, but you had a goal of 170, and it took you around how many days?
It took pretty much that whole round, I think.
Yeah, I think it was about 30 days.
Oh, no, it was more.
Yeah, because you had a mission. And
that's right.
Just for the sake of the audience, what was your initial reason for wanting to lose weight and getting a coach?
Well, we were doing, I've actually lost 30 pounds before I came to you. Since the beginning of the year, we were doing fertility treatments, and at the beginning of the year, we had a failed cycle, and I really wanted to lose the weight and be healthy, because that cycle actually worked, but it was an early miscarriage, and I was actually relieved because already, like, none of my maternity clothes fit, and I was already uncomfortable and miserable. It's like, I do not want to be pregnant like this and gain more weight, so I vowed to lose 60 pounds and before we would start again, and I wanted that to be, so I made myself a goal of being 160 by September 1st.
Okay.
That obviously didn't happen.
Yeah, and you came to me at the end of July.
Yeah. Yeah. After a month, I had lost about 30 pounds when I started and was real motivated, and I weighed more, so it was a bit easier. And then I had a month where I was really struggling. So I had wanted to finish it up on HCG anyway. I had done that twice previously and really enjoyed the diet. It worked really well for me and worked the best for maintenance. I had, you know, last time was the longest time I had ever maintained before I gained it all back again.
So in line with our conversation, you came to me with a little bit of unrealistic expectations.
Definitely, yeah. I was quite ambitious. I wanted
yes.
to lose it all very quickly
yes.
by September 1st.
And I remember sitting back and saying to myself, I don't think this is going to happen. But I didn't let you know what I thought.
No, but you did sneak comments in there. that usually I expect 10 pounds in a short round, things like that.
And if you beat that, then that's good. One of the things, and my clients tend to laugh at me when I say this, but it's so true. One of the things I tell my clients all the time is, you're the captain, I'm just a rudder. So in other words,
and you definitely told me that.
You make the call on where we're going, and it's my job to kind of steer you in that direction. But as the captain, you can make a bad call. but it's not up to me as the rudder to tell you that. It's, you know, you can make a call that steer, you know, you want to steer right into an iceberg. And I'd have to lead you there because that's the call you made, but because that's what rudders do. They just kind of steer you. What's good and what's cool is that at any point, the captain can course correct, okay? And this is what you did. You course corrected. You course corrected. And how did your expectations change as we got further into the program?
Well, I think they didn't really change until I was in my second round, and I was probably at least in the middle of it, and it was, you know, I was past my date, but it was clearly not going to happen. And I actually got my way down to where, because 170 is about where I was at when I started my last pregnancy, where all my clothes were from, and that was my goal, to fit into all my maternity clothes, to feel good. And I had actually, you know, I was close to that point. I was reaching that point, but of course I, you know, originally wanted to lose 10 pounds more so I could start even less. So I kind of said, you know, I started looking really at the positive things, like, wow, I've lost a lot of weight this year, and I'm only a month past my my original very ambitious goal, 10 pounds off, which, you know, I just started really looking at all the positive things I had done. I don't know when they actually changed, but...
I can attest to everything that you just said because I was looking back at our emails and I was kind of looking at when you started listing all the things that were changing in your life because you came to me kind of frantic and, you know, one of the first
things I was behind schedule. I was behind schedule and I had to get the weight off to reach my September 1st. And then I think I really started freaking out around September 1st when I wasn't going to reach my goal. And I was really upset about that. And I wanted to, you know, I didn't want to wait a whole year after our last cycle to do it again. And I was ruining it.
And then I think after that
is when I really started changing.
And it wasn't a change because you hadn't made it to goal. It was more of a, wow, look at what I accomplished. Look at all these changes in mindset. One of the first things you ever wrote to me, I don't know if you have that email available, but one of the first things, I start my program off with to not panic. I try to make any of my clients make a commitment. Just don't panic, please. I can handle anything but panic. Don't come to me in a panic. I'll help you through anything. And you said, boy, I need this because that's all I do. And when I panic, I eat. And so how has that changed?
Oh, that has changed tremendously.
Okay.
I think that's, I don't know. Definitely.
Situations?
So this last, you know, the last 3 months or so of my life have been some of the most stressful of my life. I had a big job change that was, you know, a lot of hours. My husband's work has been, he's changed jobs a couple times, and it's just, schedules have been crazy. We are extremely busy people. I'm busy all the time with very little time to spare. So I totally just forgot what I was even answering.
About not panicking, not eating one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, and I think that's, you know, once I got, you know, past September 1st and I really started looking at the positive, I was like, wow, last time I went through a time this stressful in my life, I actually gained 50 pounds. And this time I've lost 20. Not only that, but I've changed my mindset to, you know, I would always hear that little voice, don't panic. Renegotiate, you know. I would stop and think and problem solve. because there was one email about problem solving. I'm like, I am such a problem solver. That's why I'm so successful about my job. And I use that for everything except stress in my life. That doesn't make any sense. So I learned to stop and think about what my body was actually wanting, not just trying to stuff it down with food to feel better for a minute. So I started problem solving and coming up with other ways to reduce my stress, you know, in the meantime when I couldn't, you know, get rid of the stress in some areas. So now one of my favorite things too is jump on my little mini trampoline.
That's
work is stressing me out. I just jump on that for a couple minutes and then go back. But I didn't think I would ever, stress eating was my big thing that I didn't think I'd ever be able to overcome. And now it's not even on my mind, and it constantly amazes me. So now every day I'm like, wow, I can't believe I don't want to eat everything right now.
Yeah. I mean, your emails are just, they touch my heart because it takes a long time sometimes to get to that place, that says, oh my God, is this okay? Is this optimal for me? No, it's not. So let's pick something that is optimal. And you have this conversation with yourself, and you're actually okay with the conversation. It's not like this negative thing pounding on you. And you know you're going to do it. And it's all that you've ever done in all your life, and you just needed to keep doing it this way because this is what's worked before. But no, it hasn't worked before. So here you are now, 6 weeks out of your last C2. And let me just emphasize for the fact that you did lose a little bit more than 20 pounds in a little less than 2 months. In one cycle, that was 21 days, and the other cycle, which was about 30 days. So a little less than 2 months, you lost 20 pounds. And that, to me, on any diet, is a miracle. You know, a lot of people, you know, have unreal expectations about what HCG can do. And I do want to share a little bit about you using the BizBuzz method, mostly on your second cycle. You kind of played with it on your first cycle, your first round with me, but you kind of used it throughout the second round. I want to touch on that in a little bit, but not right now. But you're 6 weeks out of your P2, you're kind of in P4. You've been maintaining, and I tried to look back. Have you done a correction day?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think you have either.
When I started Lupron was the only day I went 2 pounds over, and it went back down the next day.
That's right. I remember that. And just to let the audience know, she is planning on your transfer is supposed to happen when?
Friday.
Ooh,
so
wow.
The last couple weeks, I've been doing all the hormones and everything, which usually makes me gain 10 pounds, and not this time. I'm actually a little bit less now than when I started.
You've stayed under your last injection weight, and you're going through all this hormonal stuff that they're pumping into you to get you ready for these fertility treatments, and it's just amazing. I just look at you, and I'm like, going, dag, okay, this is pretty cool. Now, you had said something to me on the call this afternoon, or pre-call, and I'm trying to remember what it was, and it's probably going to – it just went into my mind and just left my mind at the same time. If it comes back, I'll ask you again. Now, you're being successful. Oh, you said we were talking about the last time that you had done the fertility thing and you did gain. You think that maybe it was a result of maybe a self-fulfilling prophecy that everybody else gained? Yeah.
Because I really had, you know, it was like, well, when I get on birth control, then I'm hungry and all I can do is eat. And these things make me gain weight and I have to, you know, so then I'd eat everything because I'm going to gain weight anyway. And that's just what happened. So if I felt hungry because the medicine was doing whatever, I would just eat. This time, what really, really helped me was, I mean, you told me what to expect with the medicine. And like when I started on with the Lupron and I got that big gain, you said that's normal. And I did, but it wasn't 10 pounds worth. I like went up a pound and then went back down a little bit. And I stayed maybe a little bit higher, about half a pound to a pound more than I'm trending now. But then as soon as I stopped that dropped back down, and I lost a pound pretty quickly. And with the estrogen, you said that it won't make you gain weight, but it will give you cravings. And that really helped me so that when it did come, I was expecting it, I was ready for it, and I had a plan for it.
There it is.
So it wasn't like, oh my gosh, I'm craving something sweet. I must need ice cream. I mean, it was like, okay, I knew where it was coming from, so it was much easier for me to not give in or to, you know, find a way, you know, saying, okay, this is what I need to do for my body. It was much easier for me to resist just knowing that it was coming and knowing where it was coming from rather than these random cravings coming from out of the sky.
Awesome.
Yeah,
so being proactive has helped you.
Yeah. Yes. Amazingly.
So, you know, I'm trying to word this question in a way that's not going to blow smoke up anybody's butt. Why do you feel that you've gotten the results that you've gotten so far during, you know, your rounds and your maintenance?
Obviously because of you. And I've lost weight before. I've been on diet since I was 10 years old. I have struggled with this my entire life. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this was kind of my year that I was like, I cannot handle this. I've got to get over this year. And it wasn't even, I wanted to lose the pounds for my fertility treatment goal. But more than that, I think the numbers were not nearly as important to me as changing the behaviors. What really bothered me was the fact that I can't have one piece of cake with wanting to wolf down the entire thing. And I can't, you know, moderate. I'm definitely all or nothing. I'm either eating horribly and binging on everything I can get my hands on, or I'm sticking perfectly to whatever diet I'm on at the time. I've lost weight my whole life. I know everything about nutrition. I know everything about every diet. I've read it all. I mean, there's not much that's new to me. I had the knowledge. And even when I was getting ready to go on, I knew I wanted to do the HCG diet. And then I came across your coaching, and it was like, that's what I need. That is the missing link, because I can go on the HCG diet. I can lose weight on it, but I need really having somebody else that's invested in your success is key. Like, my husband doesn't get it at all. I have a couple friends who do get it, but it's different. They don't, you know, it's not enough of a support system and accountability for me, because, you know, they're not invested in my success. Whether I do good or bad, they don't care. They're trying to battle their own demons. So
there it
just
is. Yeah.
Having somebody there.
I'm not in your stuff. They're in your stuff, but it gets a little harder when your friends try when you talk to your friends to be accountable.
It's completely different. And I knew that was exactly what I needed, and it was what I had been looking for, and I knew that was pretty much the only way I was going to be able to change. And having that daily refocusing on the goal, on being positive, on trying to do just a little bit better each day is really huge for me, just being able to, because when I spiral out of control is when I do one thing and then start the negative talking. Well, I might as well do this too. And then it's like, well, who cares? I'll just not even think about it and just go off. And there's nothing to stop me.
Right.
So now I have you to stop me and refocus me and actually think about what I'm doing. And when I stop and think about what I'm doing, I know that's not what I want to do. So it's really been huge, and I've been amazed. I mean, I was ready to, I wanted to change. This was my year to change. Like, I was ready to do it, and just didn't know how. And even when I started with you, I remember thinking all the time, like, what I want to be able to, you know, just have a small piece of cake and actually be satisfied with that and not be staring at the cake all night wishing I could eat the whole thing. I didn't think it was possible. You know, I've struggled with this my whole life. There's no way that cannot be a struggle. And I thought, you know, it's just going to be a, is this going to be a struggle for the rest of my life? Even if I'm doing well and doing the right things, is it going to be a daily battle and so hard? So I was actually quite shocked. It really surprised me when it started becoming easy. Like, it's not a struggle. And that really shocked me.
Yeah. Didn't you have a situation where you had either company or family and cake sat on the counter or something? I'm trying to remember.
Yes,
exactly.
We had, this is amazing to me. I mean, I like went off about it to everybody I know because they all know me and how I am with cake. My sister-in-law, I've been trying not to eat sugar. You know, we're doing the fertility things and I really wanted to keep not sugar overload my system. So my sister-in-law was in town. It was Halloween. It was her birthday. I made her a birthday cake, did not taste it. We had cakes in the house. She was bringing stuff from other people. I mean, we had so many desserts in our house. It was ridiculous. And not only did I not eat them, which is an accomplishment, but to me, the part that really amazed me and made me happy was that they didn't tempt me. Those things sat on the counter all week. And I was actually okay with that without wanting to wolf them down every time I walked past them.
That's
and
amazing.
I, 3 months ago, would have thought that was impossible. I would have never guessed that I would be able to do that without, I mean, it's usually where I have to tell my husband, get this out of the house as soon as possible. This needs to leave because if it's around me, I'm going to eat it. Like, I have no self-control. But now, pizza is my arch nemesis. And early when I was in my first round, I got surprised with pizza, a pizza dinner. And I struggled. And it, when it's so hard, I mean, there's only so long before you give in. You can only fight
right.
it so much, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I gave in and, like, totally ate a ton of pizza and then felt bad about it. And then, fast forward 3 months, I think it was last week, there was pizza for dinner for some reason. Somebody brought pizza over, and I didn't eat any of it, and I was okay with that. And there were leftovers the next day, and I was okay with that, which, you know, in the past, leaving me alone with pizza, forget it. Like, there's going to be not even a crumb left when you come back.
That's awesome.
Was just amazed at how easy it has become because, I can't fight the urges and the constant cravings. I can't fight it for very long. So the fact that those, I don't have to fight it anymore. It's actually quite easy for me now. It shocks me still.
I know you keep when you write me your letters, you're like, this is a positive that I just experienced. And I'm like reading this. It's like this, 10-page letter you're writing me. And I'm like going, daggum, this is awesome.
Yeah.
And what I really liked about our interaction is, my cycle for the program, for the Bot Squad program, is 91 days. It's 91 emails that I send out. So daily an email gets sent out. What I liked about you was that you responded with something in regards to that email that you've applied to get better. Because my emails are pretty much just about motivation, about thinking, differently, about proactivity, about all the positive, celebrating your accomplishments, all these little gems that I like to instill in my clients to try to get them to think positive because we've been beating ourselves up for so many, for too long. So I love that little interaction. And, you would pull out, hey, I use this today. I use this today.
Yeah.
And that was just, that's awesome. I enjoyed you. I did. That was fun. So we've already been talking for 40 minutes, which is kind of unusual. So let me, kind of wrap this up a little bit. Is there anything that you would like to say to our audience, maybe about unrealistic expectations and how to work on changing that mindset to kind of realize your goals?
I think part of the reason I was very hesitant to change my mindset at first, I mean, I pretty quickly caught on that you were pretty positive, and even when I did mess up, you weren't going to beat me up, which I thought I needed the accountability, someone that was really going to, I think I was afraid to be positive because I thought that would give me an excuse to do bad because I'm kind of the queen of excuses. Like, well, I had a bad day, so I deserve cake for dinner. But I think I thought that if I was gentle with myself and said, you know, okay, this is the reason, that I would use that as an excuse to then eat cake every time because, well, it's okay. I'm not going to get beat up for it. So I'll just do whatever I want anyway. And I think I thought that's what would happen. But I just started being positive anyway and looking at, you know, when I did mess up, but how much less I messed up than I would have in the past. I started really focusing on just the positive things, and it really motivated me to want to do better, to keep getting better a little bit at a time. So just it works.
I love it. I love it. That's a good
thing. Listen to Biz. It works, really.
I appreciate that. I really thank you for your transparency through this interview. It's been a hoot, which I knew it was going to be after I had the pre-call with you today. And then just a little bit, I'm going to kind of open the phone lines up, or, you know, if any of you have gotten on the chat room at the HTA to ask any questions. Before that, though, I kind of wanted to make a little announcement. Who am I kidding? Not a little announcement, maybe a big announcement. Kind of already hinted in a couple of my newsletters and in, I think, the last call that we had, that there's going to be major changes coming our way on the site at the start of the year, and I'm super excited about it. And I announced the date for that launch to happen on January 15th. One of the things I have announced is that I am writing a book, and actually what it is, for those of you that have read my starter manual for the HTT protocol, I'm actually rewriting that because I wrote that back at the end of 2008, and what I know now compared to what I knew back then is it goes beyond. So I'm kind of taking that manual and I am just completely reworking it. It's going to have tons of recipes. It's going to have a menu that is kind of going to be a practically fail-safe and totally planned out with a shopping list. It's going to show you how to load. It's going to show you how to handle limbo. It's going to have tools that include charts and lists, and I'm going to have templates that you can make flashcards to carry with you when you go to eat at different restaurants, and you can pass that card to the server and not worry about ever, you know, saying the right thing. It's going to have an extensive FAQ section, a fact section that's going to kind of blow you away, and it's going to include all the nuances that make the BizBuzz method what it is today, which includes new veggies, new fruit, and adding fat, and, you know, just simply it's going to rock. Now, it's also going to include a 30-day membership to a new – and so that's another thing to look forward to in the middle of January when we release and the new sites are available, January 15th. So mark that in your calendars. Now, I am offering a pre-sale to this book. My coach and I haven't come up with a final price yet, but we're both comfortable with announcing a pre-sale price of the ebook version. We're going to also have it in print, but the ebook version we're offering as a pre-sale for $14.95. And that time, we're going to have a time limit on it until the end of November. Then we're going to offer it again, but we're going to be offering it at a little bit higher price, a little higher pre-sale price. So those of you that are out there that have seen my ebooks know that I put my heart and soul into each one. This one's no different, except that it's going to be the most extensive book to date. And like I said, it's going to replace the starter manual, and it's going to be my own method, of course, the BizBuzz method. As of tonight, though, my coach and I couldn't get together this afternoon, so I'm not ready to accept orders yet. But by tomorrow, when I send out the recording for this, and I'll send it out to the list, I'll give you information on getting your pre-sale copy. It's just going to be when it becomes available that I will be sending it to you. So like I said, we'll have details in tomorrow's, in that list for tomorrow. So with all of that, if there's anyone that would like to ask any questions of either me or Amy, we've got about 15 minutes left on the call. I like to keep these under an hour. So you can hit 5-star, and that will raise your hand, and then I'll call on you, and you can ask a question of Amy or I. Now, if anyone's still on the call that would like to get into the HDA chat room to ask a question, you have to go to happilythinnerafter.com, go into the forum area. On the upper right-hand corner is the chat room. You need to go into the room marked live interview, and the password for that room is rockon, all capital, R-A-W-K-O-N. And we do have somebody raise their hand from the 212 area code. I'm going to be calling on you. Let's see. I'm going to unmute you right now. And if you could give us your name, I'd appreciate it.
This is Gabby.
Gabby, hello. Nice to have you here. Is this question or comment for me or for Amy?
It's for Amy.
Okay, Amy.
Amy, you talked in your comments about the pizza and how you were able to withstand it. What do you think made the real difference this time in not eating it?
That's a hard one, and I try to think. And I think the reason why this caught me by surprise is that, I don't know. I don't really know what made the difference. You know, in the past, the food would just kind of call my name, and if I ignored it, it would get louder and louder and louder. And now food is just, it doesn't have the same position in my life. My mindset is much more focused on what does my body need right now. So food just does not have the power that it used to have over me because it doesn't make me feel good. I know now food actually makes me feel bad. So I know that in my mind, and I know a whole bunch of other things I found that make me feel good and better. I can jump on my trampoline. I can, I don't know, do other things. But I've just, my whole food's position in my life has just really drastically changed, and it's lost its power. It's hard to explain, and it's so different, and it really caught me by surprise the first time that I was actually around food and could handle not eating it. I was shocked by it, I had already eaten one, so I wasn't tired and hungry, and, you know, when my guard is down, I do make worse decisions, I don't know, it didn't tempt me. Because I just, my whole mindset has changed, and I knew it would not be good for my body, so I didn't want to eat something that would not be good for my body at that time.
Okay, and I think you hit on something too. For me, you said you weren't tired and you weren't hungry,
mm-hmm.
and that when you
always make worse decisions when I'm tired and hungry, then I'm like, I'm just gonna eat whatever I can get my hands on, and it's much harder to fight it. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Thanks so much.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Gabby.
Thank you.
Muting here. Anybody else would like to ask a question of me or Amy? Please, you can raise your hand at by hitting 5-star, or you can go to the HTA chat room. We do have a question coming up at the HTA chat room, so if you could just give me a second, Amy, for her to post the question. And if you want to get into the HTA chat room, you have to go into the live interview room and enter the password rockon, R-A-W-K-O-N, when you go into the room. Okay, this question is for me. Did you say in your new ebook that you would go into detail into your BizBuzz method? Yes. In fact, the whole ebook is going to be about the BizBuzz method. And keep in mind that when I talk about the BizBuzz method, it is just for the HCG protocol. I'm not talking about maintenance. I'm talking about doing the actual HCG diet. So that will be what the BizBuzz Method ebook or printed book will be about. Any other questions? Okay, and second question. Okay, Smithium, I guess her name is, and she asked a question. I'm part of boot camp, and I see people mentioning MCD, assuming that this is a modified correction day, and how do you do that in C2 besides an apple day? Actually, I don't believe in apple days, just to let you know. I think they are you do lose weight with apple days, but you generally will gain it right back on the second day. So I don't like to use those. I do have it. They call modified correction days, and I will be posting that into my new BizBuzz Method. I have thought about writing an article up until that time, and I kind of right now have only shared that with my clients because stay tuned and be patient, and I will be posting those in the ebook. So anybody else in the call or in the chat room that would like to ask a question of Amy or myself, just go ahead and raise your hand by hitting 5-star, or you can post a question in the chat room. And if I don't have any more questions.
Oh, and I just thought of one more thing, Biz. On the pizza thing,
okay.
I just remembered one of the things that I was thinking when I was like, oh, should I eat that pizza or not? And I was like, I really want to be able to tell Biz tomorrow that I had pizza in the house and didn't eat it.
Well, there it is.
So I think wanting to have those positive experiences and wanting to be able to tell you about those, because I know you'll be happy, I think really keeps me motivated to keep improving.
And this is what some people don't understand a lot of times. It's just as addicting to do something positive as it is to do something negative. So you can get that euphoria from doing really good things just as much as you can from doing really bad things like drugs or alcohol. You can get like a high from saying, oh, my God, I did something right. Isn't that awesome? It's like, oh, my God, that's so awesome. I am so awesome. I am, like, invincible. And you start going into this whole, you know, huge, huge thing that says, oh,
it's true.
I'm wonderful. And I'm wonderful. I just said I'm wonderful.
Yeah.
Okay, I do have a question for Amy from Rowena in the chat room. She says, did you go on high fat? Did you think the food plan you were on that when you started the injections helped balance your body? Okay, so what I'm assuming that she's asking, you can tell me if I'm correct, Rowena, is when you started using the BizBuzz Method for your P2, Do you think it helped balance, you know, like almost detox or balance your body? And also, are you eating high fat now for maintenance?
Definitely, I'm being high fat now. When I started eating the fat, I didn't really notice. My body's not very sensitive. Like I always say, if my body gave me a little bit more negative feedback, I probably wouldn't eat as bad as I do, because I can go eat Taco Bell and junk food tomorrow and I won't feel any different in my body. So my body's quite tolerant, so I don't think I really felt much of a difference, but I'm definitely using it for maintenance now and I find it quite yummy.
You said something the other day about eating a cheeseburger. Can you share that with us?
Oh, yeah. We did go somewhere the other day, and there were, like, no options. So I kind of went back and forth. I'm like, well, I can get a cheeseburger, which I've done several times. I'll just go get a cheeseburger and not eat the bun. And then that was kind of, you know, there was sauce all over it, and I was like, I'm going to eat the cheeseburger. It's fine. So, I ate the bread and didn't feel any different from it, and I knew I wouldn't. But sometimes that little thing, oh, you shouldn't have had that, But I would, you know, I made a decision. I wanted to eat the cheeseburger. I ate the cheeseburger, and it didn't, you know, I didn't have a desire that I would have in the past to then, well, I blew it, so I might as well add some chili cheese fries and a shake. And while we're at it, let's go get some dessert.
You said you felt kind of normal, which is something that you desired at the beginning.
Yeah, that's all I ever wanted. I just want to be normal. I want to be able to, you know, make a decision and eat what I want, but not then have that throw me into a, you know, a whirlwind where I completely overdo it and can't control myself. And that was huge for me to be able to just eat a cheeseburger and be satisfied with that and then say, you know, okay, now the next day I really kind of want to keep it lower carb, and I'm just making conscious decisions, and it's eating one thing is not causing me to throwing me into a binge, or, you know, I feel normal, which is what that's all I ever wanted. I just wanted to be normal and be able to, you know, make conscious decisions about what I wanted to eat.
Excellent.
And not emotional ones.
Rowena says in the chat room, thanks to the answer to her previous question. She has one more question. I think it's directed at me. She says, what do you think was the turning point for Amy to actually have made incremental progress in the first one-on-one coaching with her, or what did she do differently to expedite her progress? I mean, if I had to answer that from my side of the fence, what I saw, the changes that I saw in Amy as we were doing our coaching relationship, was that she was taking the information that I was providing in the emails and taking the information of my replies to her for whatever, you know, and this is something that I usually tell my clients, to share with me everything. Share with me the good, share with me the bad. Please share with me everything, because that's the only way that I can help you. If you had a fight with your partner, share that with me. I don't need to know what the fight was about, but share that with me, because then I know how to help you. Amy was sharing with me. She was sharing me her life. She was sharing with me when she had a bad day. She was sharing with me when she had too much stress at work and she doesn't know what to do, because then I can be a coach. And then I can say, you know, hey, this is not the end of the world. Things will get better. And I was doing what a coach is supposed to do. I was supposed to do, which, did I do this, Amy? I reminded you of the good. I reminded you of how far you had gotten. I reminded you of your goals. I was reminding you, these are the things you want to keep in mind. And I think that, like you said, that positive reinforcement was what you really needed.
Yeah.
To flip that switch. I always call it flipping that switch. It's as easy as a light switch once you know how to do it. It's flipping that switch.
And I think, and I learned at some point, I started measuring my success not on whether I strictly stuck to the protocol or not, but when I did slip up, how quickly I was able to get back on it and flip that switch. So my mindset of what equals success really changed.
Exactly. So you're not into it to have this perfect, you know, free of mistakes, which I don't think is possible in the imperfect world that we live in. So you're not taking those things as an excuse to go spiral down. You're taking those things and you're recovering faster. There's one thing. There's one thing to make a mistake and then not, you know, recover for weeks and weeks and weeks. And then there's to make a mistake and then recover in the next, you know, day. So that's what we're trying to accomplish. Okay, I am going to have to end the call because it is an hour. I hate to do this. This is an awesome call. Amy, thank you so much again for being so
transparent. You're very welcome.
And for all of those that had asked the questions on the chat, and I think I got to everyone in the – yep, I did get to everyone on the call. Thank you so much. And, again, please pay attention to the emails tomorrow, and I will have information on how to get your pre-sale copy of the BizBuzz. Thank you very much, Amy. You have a great night, and everybody who came in on the call, thank you guys.
Thanks.
This is Biz signing out. Bye-bye.